Wonderful. All set. Good morning. My name's Monica, if you don't know me yet, and I have the absolute great privilege this morning to share with you in our series on Deuteronomy. Last week, Jared started us off with explaining those, what's the word, Jared? That one? A very hard word for a non-English mother tongue speaker. But you know what he talked about if you've been here. So today we are diving a little bit deeper into that. I've called my sermon On the Plain of Moab, Remember. That will be the theme that I'm developing, and you'll understand in a minute why. Have you ever heard of the nutcracker? A really interesting little bird that is across Europe, Russia, China, actually also in America in certain areas. There's a few here, but I think it's more in the northern parts of Australia. And this amazing little bird cracks nuts, hence the name, and collects these little pine nuts. And a nutcracker can store as many as 98,000 of these things, in a single season. And then they remember 75 to 90% of where they hit them. And up to a meter under snow, they will still remember. And actually, up to 8 months, they still remember to feed their young on last year's harvest. So they also actually cache the seed up to 32 kilometers away from the mother plant, adding to our reforesting the world. Is that amazing? That's an amazing memory here. So here's our problem. We forget things that we need to remember, and we remember things that we should forget. And instead of reminding ourselves what God has done in our lives, we often focus on our problems. That's our problem. Let's pray as we dive into this text in Deuteronomy. Heavenly Father, in your grace, would you allow us to have open minds and hearts to receive the gift of your word into our lives, because we know it's bringing healing and joy. Amen. Okay, so if you open your Bibles, if you have a Bible, and there's Bibles on the seats, if you don't have one, please open it. And I am going to, Otenel, are you going to read the first, someone is reading the first part of Deuteronomy? Just the first 8 verses. Do you want to read it from your place? Yeah, cool. Yep. Thank you so much. If you have a Bible, keep it open. So we are in Deuteronomy. That's the 5th book of the Bible, right at the beginning. And I'd like also to encourage you, please, please, read along Deuteronomy as we have this series, and think about Deuteronomy. It's worth reading. Even though it's an Old Testament book, it's full of blessings. And I hope today will be one of those blessings as we dive into it. So as you read through Deuteronomy, you will find there's a few keywords in there, which I'll highlight here. One of the keywords is remember. Another one is covenant. These are the two that I'll focus on today. But then we'll find a lot of the keyword of obey or obedience. Then there will be blessing, the word blessing, and the word curse. If you're courageous and you're like me, use different colored pens in your Bible and mark them, because they stand out. If you have a look through my Bible, it's very colorful, and rightly so, because I can see very quickly, oop, what are words of God? Oop, what are promises? What are things that I should remember? It really helps. So these are the key words, and I'm going to focus on remembering. Remember, the word remember comes more, it's actually in Hebrew, zakar, and it appears more than 200 times alone in the Old Testament. equivalent in Greek is mimnesko, and that's 74 times in the New Testament. Well, if you think the Old Testament is about that thick and the New that thick, that's a lot. And alone 45 times in the Psalms. So it seems to be an important word. Remember. Why? Because God actually, who created us, knows how easily we forget. We forget who he is. We forget what he's done in our lives. We forget his many promises. We forget how important for some of us, even how important the resurrection is. So God says that in lots of different places. He says, remember and do all my commandments in Numbers or in Deuteronomy a little later in later chapters. He says, and you shall remember that you were slaves in Egypt. And you shall not oppress a stranger because you know what it feels like, implying, remember. Interesting enough, isn't that interesting how God works? The verse for each month, as you know, the watchword for each month, happens to be Deuteronomy, that's printed down under this little box, Deuteronomy 26, verse 11. And it says, you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your family. Remember, that stands even over this month, so we better pay attention. Here's a very brief timeline of Deuteronomy, and you can see, I don't know whether this thing here works. Nah, probably not. Nah. But you can see roughly what happened. Abraham, when he went, when God spoke to Abraham, and then the people grew, and there was a famine, and they went away to the Exodus to Egypt, but then they came into slavery, and eventually God spoke to Moses and said, "I want you to lead my people out," and they did their Exodus from Egypt towards the promised land. We are now at Israel enters the promised land just before that. That's where we are joining Moses in what he reminds the people of, just so that we have a very brief overview here. This is a little bit of a map of where we are. And you can see Israel at the time of Moses and these different kingdoms that were there. That's important as you read through Deuteronomy because some of those kingdoms are going to face a war against the Israelites because God said, I have given you this land. God said, the Lord your God, who is going before you, and I'm in Deuteronomy in the first four chapters, the Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes and in the desert. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a father carries his son all the way you went until you reached this place. So right now, the Israelites are actually camping on the plains of Moab. And that's why I've called my sermon this, because we are sometimes on the plains of Moab. They are just before entering Israel, just before taking possession of the promised land. This here is a view, I don't know whether you can imagine that, but coming from Israel, looking back into Moab on the other side, on the left here, there you see the Jordan River, on the right, this little bit is the start of the Dead Sea. And you're looking over into the east, towards the plains of Moab. Does that make sense? I hope it does. So that's where the Israelites are at the moment sitting, and Moses does his farewell speech to the people. By the word, Deuteronomy in Hebrew means Eleha Devarim, which is translated, these are the words. That's why the book is called Deuteronomy, these are the words. So this is the plain of Moab, and here is a map of, so what does not work in my slides, I plan to put these, you know, one picture and then the next one in the appearance, but so you have them all in one go. On the left side, you see a map of the wanderings of the Israelites out of 40 years in the desert, up to going up there to Israel. Most of you will find in your Bibles this map on the left. But I couldn't help myself putting this other little map in there, because there is plenty of archaeology coming out these last few decades that put the journey of Israel a little bit differently. And that has an impact on the crossing of the sea, the Red Sea. They probably actually did not cross over at the top there where it says Succoth. Can you see that? There's a little Etham, there's a little arrow there. This is actually a body of water that's already amazing to cross because it's pretty muddy, but it's fairly flat. And very likely because Moses actually had been living in the land of Midian. Can you see that on the top, bottom right? There is also a Mount Horeb there, not just on the south peninsula there. So very likely, Moses went back with the people to the place that he knew, and there is amazing evidence, and I've put just two little pictures up there. There is rocks where you can see a calf being worshipped. Some of these archaeological drawings on that rock there, there's lots of rocks of them, some of them are very similar to the Egyptian cultural drawings. And then there's also, and I'm sorry, I don't know, can you see that there's in the middle, in the right picture there, a rock that's split in the middle? It is very likely, archaeologically, that this is the rock that God said to Moses, touch your staff, touch that rock, and I will give you water. Because number one, there's just a split rock in the middle of no other split rocks. Number two, if you look into this archaeologically, there is evidence of water flowing down, and this is desert. There is evidence of that water was running down that rock and for quite a while. And there's also evidence of a river flowing off. I just couldn't help myself to, I find that exciting. There's evidence. There's people today who say, oh, this is all fairy tales and it didn't even happen. There is plenty of evidence that it did happen. And it's important that we remember, because God is faithful. Here's Deuteronomy. I am looking at the first four chapters there where Moses said, remember. From there, we'll dive in these next Sundays into what to remember, which is, for example, the Ten Commandments and many other laws. And then Moses gives at the end this is what happens when you do these things, and this is what happens when you don't do these things, blessings and cursings. And then right at the end of Deuteronomy, he gives his farewell and blessing, and he dies. So this is just a little bit, where are we? We are in the first four chapters here. And important also, God first lets us remember before he tells us what to do. That's really important. Because obedience is actually the result of a relationship. It is not the result of fear or legalism. If we obey God because we remember what he has done for us, then obedience flows naturally out of thankfulness for his grace. And also for Israel, back to Israel, they were supposed to be a mission statement. This is how God deals with his people. They were supposed to be, you read that in Deuteronomy chapter 4, they were to be an example of what does God do to people who trust in him. In the same way, we as a congregation, we individually are to carry the light into the world, to be an example of what does God do to us if we are faithful. And I love that Jenny talked about her life, because it shows how God has, through ups and downs, it doesn't mean everything goes like even, but through all ups and downs, she has held on to God, and he has been faithful to her, and she has given her testimony about that this morning, which is wonderful. Thank you. In order to understand what a covenant is, I think we need to understand what's the difference between a covenant and a contract. Let's start with a contract. A contract is actually time-bound. So it has a certain time limit, it has a deadline, and you actually can terminate it, and you can renegotiate your conditions. Think, for example, of a real estate contract, right? There's many other examples. A contract has clauses. If, then. If you don't pay, the house won't belong to you, right? If you pay by this time, then these are the next steps. There is a signature. All parties have to sign accepting responsibility. Has anyone here bought a house ever? Yeah? Okay, so you know what a contract is. You have to sign. If you don't sign it, it won't be happening. You can't sell your house or you can't buy one. It's also performance-based. So you perform well, then you get the results. And it's a transaction between parties. In comparison, a covenant is something very different, and God makes covenants with us. He has made a covenant with his people and with us being grafted into his people. A covenant is a one-sided agreement, and it's promising to do something forever. There's no clauses and no way to terminate. Is that amazing? There are promises, there is a commitment that's asked, but the fulfillment doesn't affect the covenant. So let's translate it. We are asked to be faithful and obedient, but if we aren't, that does not annihilate God's covenant. God still loves you. God still runs after you. A covenant has no if-then, but I will. And it is acceptance-based and relational. And as an example, I've written down a marriage covenant, right? Ideally, a marriage covenant, I have promised to Peter that I will be faithful all my life. That has no ending, right? Unless I die or he dies, yeah? A covenant in marriage is, or parental love as well. Do we ever stop loving our kids? Even if they mess up? No, we don't, because it's a covenant. We have made a commitment towards our kids. We will be hopefully faithful in that. That's a covenant. And that's what God did with his people, and they are now reminded of this covenant. So in the Old Testament, we have five key covenants. Just to give you an overview, there is the covenant with Noah never to flood the earth again. That's in Genesis 9. Then there was a big covenant with Abraham where God promised, I will bless you for generations. No end. Then there was the covenant with Moses that he wanted to have the Israelites as his holy nation. And if you want to read about covenants, then there's a lot to read, but I'm encouraging you to do that. There was a covenant later with David about the king after God's heart, how God will bless him and be with him and bless the work he's doing. And then the last covenant, Jesus, the covenant. He is the fulfillment of the covenant as well. Just side margins that one. But you need to understand what a covenant is. Very important, it's not a contract. And so one of our problems is we can't keep the law. So before Moses repeats the law to his people, he reminds them of something. And here is a little map where it says Israel, plains of Moab. That's where they are sitting right now. And they are actually just opposite of Jericho. Remember what happened to Jericho? They walked around it, the walls fell. You could ask, why did God not lead his people the north route from Egypt along the north to Israel? It's a very short road, very short way. Some commentators suggest that in that area, now Palestine, the Philistine lived. They were big, they were aggressive, they were killers. And at that time, when Israel came out of Egypt, they had a slave mentality. They needed preparation. They needed to learn that God is trustworthy. Mind you, it took them 40 years to learn that. That God can be trusted. He will provide your food. He will provide your water. He will provide your clothes. Did you ever read in your Bible that during the desert wanderings for 40 years, the clothes never wore off? Isn't that amazing? God provides down to the nitty-gritty stuff. We have to remember that. So here they are sitting in the plains of Moab, and Moses talks to them. We can't keep the law. We need to remember. We actually read in Galatians chapter 3, Paul says, "For all who rely on the works of the law are under a curse. As it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue to do everything written in the book of the law. Clearly, no one who relies on the law is justified before God, because the righteous will live by faith. The law is not based on faith. On the contrary, it says, the person who does these things will live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hung on a pole." So then here's the conclusion in Galatians. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promised Holy Spirit. So they are sitting on the plains of Moab. They are being told, remember. And there's so many scripture verses that say, remember, that I really won't bore you with this, but I'm encouraging you to read it. Highlight the remembers in Deuteronomy alone, let alone in your whole Bible. So it actually said, when you just did the Bible reading earlier, it said it takes 11 days to go from Horeb to Kadesh Barnea. So at the bottom of the map I showed earlier, here, at the bottom of this, here, somewhere here, is the mount from which Moses is talking there. And from there to Kadesh Barnea, and I can't reach that, but about halfway up on the map on the right, it says Kadesh Barnea in yellow. Can you see that? Up here? There somewhere? That's the just to put in context what the Bible says is accurate historically and map-wise and whatever. It takes 11 days to go there. So God had said to them, break camp, go up there, and they are in Kadesh Barnea. And Kadesh Barnea, they've been before, right at the beginning of their exodus from Egypt. And in Kadesh Barnea, they said, okay, let's send spies into the land. Remember that story? And they sent from Kadesh Barnea spies, and the spies came back with grapes so big they had to carry them, four men, on a pole, right? Because they were so heavy and rich, and they were saying, this land flows over with milk and honey, but there's big people there. We can't go there. That's actually why they had to wander another 40 years and learn trust in God. When God says go, he means go, because he has provided everything you need. If you can't trust him for that, then you might need a little more preparation in trust. That happened for the Israelites. They had to go for 40 years through the desert to learn we can trust our God. So they are again in Kadesh Barnea, and going up into the plains of Moab. And so there's plenty of times, do not forget, do not forget. And Moses says that lots of times. He then reminds them, for example, go to chapter 2, and you will see in verse 7, one of the things that Moses reminds the people of. The Lord your God has blessed you in all the work of your hands. He has watched over you on your journey. Through this vast desert, these 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you, and you have not lacked a thing. Moses is saying that to the Israelites. Let's hear this as God saying it this morning to us, and start thinking. Where has God provided? Where has God given you a promise and it actually came true? Have you ever kept a prayer journal where you wrote in, Lord, please heal so-and-so, And then you completely forgot 5 weeks later to go back and say, thank you, Lord, you healed so-and-so. We forget. We don't even keep journals in which we remind ourselves, this is what God has done. But God has watched over your journey as well, your individual journey. Through this vast desert, you might have gone through desert. I certainly have. These 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you. He has been with you. He has been with you. And you have not lacked anything. I hope that you can remember. Let's go forward again here. I'd like you to bore you again a little with the neuroscience of remembering. Because it's important. I hope you can bear with me, but it's really important. There is a reward circuitry in our brain that actually helps us to not just to remember, but it activates certain areas that create a stress reduction. If we this morning start remembering good things that God has done in our lives, we are starting to feel better. Our stress levels will go down. There will be an increased resilience and increased well-being. Maybe not if you do it once, but if it becomes a habit, please make it a habit to be thankful. There is actually, this is linked to life satisfaction and better emotional regulation. And I'm just giving you the tip of the iceberg of plenty of research, not by Christians necessarily, by scientists who see what's happening in activity in the brain. There's actually the regular practice of gratitude can lead to long-term positive changes in your brain. Don't you want that? I do. Positive changes in the brain, meaning there is better, not just better health, mental health and resilience, but there's actually better immune response. Demo. Lots of good, positive help to stay healthy physically. And so on. So there's more areas there in the brain, and if there were people who were interested, I would explain to you the little diagram up there, but not to want to bore you. Let's have a very short word study about remembering. Remembering actually is the process of recalling the past, especially the present and activity of God in history of his people. His people hear not just Israel, hear me, you. That's remembering according to a dictionary. God actually remembers. God always remembers his covenant. Would be really sad if he didn't, but there is no ending to the covenant. God remembers his covenant. God always remembers his people. He always remembers you. God, believers are to remember God's person and his acts in history and his commands and take responsibility for each other because of that. And there's scripture, if you wanted to take a picture on your some people take pictures, that's fine. Look those up. Remembering leads to rejoicing. It leads to repentance. Lord, sorry that I didn't remember. You have answered so many prayers. Lord, sorry that I didn't thank you for this. It leads to repentance. It leads to understanding. The remembering leads to understanding. Very important. History, in history, there's so many mistakes. If we don't remember, we will make the same mistakes again. And me having grown up in Germany, we had to remember our just recent history. We still have to do that day in, day out in schools. We remember what happened, the enmity against the Jews, so that this never happens again, not from Germany, certainly not. And it also leads to hope for the future. So Moses reminds the people first of, and you can read through that in these first four chapters, just four chapters, read them at home. He reminds them of the Horeb experience where he had that God had sworn to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants to give them this land. And Moses reminds the people of that. that they sent spies. Remember from Kadesh Barnea, we sent spies and then you lamented. And so God had to send you away. He needs to remind them so that they don't do the same thing just before they are taking possession of the land. And then they took things into their own hands when they were sorry that they had to wander again and said, okay, well, now we'll fight. And they went into fight and God said, don't go. And they went. And many of them died because it was not God's plan for them. Remember, so you don't make the same mistakes. Then he reminds them of the 40 years wandering through the desert and all the miracles that came with that. Manna, water, meat, lots of things that they needed. And every single day, God looked after them. 40 years. Is here anyone that's older than 40 years? Can you look back on at least 40 years of life? Maybe just less. But can you look back on your life and see how God has provided? They have just, before Moses does the speech, defeated some kings. And he then also reminds them, Moses reminds them of what has just recently happened. Have you seen? God was faithful. And then he gives them the Ten Commandments again. And you were shown these things, says God in chapter 4, so that you might know that the Lord is God. Besides him, there's no other. And he did that because he loved you and chose you. Acknowledge and take to heart this day that the Lord is God in heaven and above, and on the earth below, there is no other. So, to summarize, Moses says to the people, you have seen with your own eyes. And then he gives them history, like Jenny has done for us today from her life. He says next, do not forget. That's important, because this is the blessing in your life. Remember, and that will lead to obedience. If you love me, says Jesus, you will obey what I command. So the obeying comes as a consequence of loving, and the loving comes of a consequence of remembering what God has done. So here's my summary. Obedience, then, is the evidence or fruit of faith that has grown through experience of God's grace. Once again, obedience is the evidence, the fruit of faith that has grown through experience of God's grace. I have a little challenge for you this morning. Think about your own history. Remember what God has done in your life. And I've brought some, I would have liked to bring some rocks, but I couldn't source rocks quickly. So what I've brought is, I've brought some wooden blocks here. And I've brought some texters. And I want you to take a minute or two and think about one thing, just one thing, that you remember God has done in your life. It might be a person. It might be an experience. It might be a blessing. It might be someone or something that you remember. God has given it to me. Write that. Here's some texters, and you need to share them because I didn't have one for everybody. But take one of those blocks, everybody. Take a minute or two and write something on them. And I just want to give you time to do that. And then share around the texters. And take this thing home and place it somewhere where you can see it. So as we tend to forget that our eyes will fall on this remembering stone. You might want to translate it to a stone at home if that's more meaningful. And by the way, this is not my idea. It actually was Moses' idea. After they came out of Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea, remember, he said to each tribe, they had to bring on the other side to the shore a big rock to remember God has led our tribe with all the other tribes, and they put them on top of each other, led us out of slavery. Remember, and he said, when your kids ask you, what's that? Tell them the story. So I hope that as you do this, there will be a possibility for you to remember. I'll just give you a minute or two to do that and write something that you want to remember. One of God's blessing in your life. Just one. I mean, the thing has four sides. You could write down four things. And while we do, I will just read some of those verses that I've highlighted just in Deuteronomy. You have seen with your own eyes all that the Lord your God has done. Do not be afraid of people that are scary. The Lord your God himself will fight for you. Meaning he prepares the way. You might have to do the work, but he has prepared it so that you will win. Hear now, O Israel, the decrees and laws I'm about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live. Do not add to what I command you and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands the Lord your God has given you. Another one is, the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him. The Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him. Watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. The Lord took you and brought you out of the iron smeltering furnace out of Egypt, and Egypt stands for each of us difficult time, to be the people of his inheritance. I'll read another two or so that we all have had a chance to write. You were shown these things so that you might know that the Lord is God. Beside him there is no other. And he did that because he loved you and chose you. The Lord is God in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other. So if you've written something down, just have a look at what you've written down. If somebody is very courageous and would like to share, I'd like to invite you to come up, one, two people. And then we'll take a little bit of time and telling each other just a nice little story to share what God has done in your life. Is anyone willing and able to share from up here so that everybody can hear? Yep, sure.
A long time ago, I was living out in the bush all by myself in a little cottage. And I got down on my knees and I said, Lord, I need a wife. Lord, I'd love to have kids. Lord, grandkids. So they're all on my block here.
Thank you. Very good. So important to remember.
Yeah, the text that was taken away, I was going to fill out all the sides of it. But yes, my parents, my wife, my health, and my children.
Anyone else? Okay, let's turn to your neighbor. Share just a little bit, just 3 minutes. I don't give you more time because we are running late. Just 2-3 minutes, share something that you appreciate, and then I'll close in prayer. Can I just finish in prayer, and I hope you will continue your conversations just after prayer, and we invite you to share coffee and tea and some cake with us and just stay around enjoying community. Father, we just thank you as we remember your blessings in our life, how you have blessed us in the past, how you are going before us, how you are providing every little thing that we need. Lord, sometimes it's so hard to learn to trust you because we've had human experiences that destroy our trust, but you are different. You are God of the covenant. You are reliable. You expect nothing in return, and we can't mess it up with you. Lord, out of this love that we are experiencing through your loving, graceful care, we ask that you will enable us to be obedient to your calling. Amen. Okay.